In a few moments, we are going to partake of the Lord's Supper. Is there anybody here who needs the bread and fruit of the vine? Okay. To prepare our minds to remember the body and blood of Jesus, I want us to start by thinking about Mary Magdalene. And that may seem a little odd because we're remembering Jesus, not Mary, and that is true. But Mary's life centers around Jesus. And through her eyes, I think we can understand and comprehend the gravity of the death of Jesus and what it meant to them and to us. We're introduced to Mary in Luke chapter 8, and she is somebody who's been healed of a demon possession. Jesus talks about demon possessions, teaches us a little bit about it. If you start in Luke chapter 11 and verse 24, you think about how bad demon possessions were, and think about people that could no longer speak, people that were thrown into fires, and it was just a miserable, horrible situation if you were possessed by a demon. But Jesus says in verse 24, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and not finding any, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it swept and put in order. Then it goes and takes along seven other spirits, more evil than itself, and they go in and live there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. And so Jesus describes a circumstance in which somebody has a demon possession, an evil spirit within them, and that's a bad, bad situation. He says, but if it happens to leave, and it comes back, and it finds that it's a welcoming circumstance, it brings more demons, and it becomes a worse circumstance. What's worse than demon possession? Multiple demon possession. Being possessed by multiple demons. So you look at Luke chapter 8. And our introduction to Mary is in the middle of verse 2. It says, Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out. So I only know of one other circumstance in the scriptures where there was a multiple demon possession, and that was with Legion, and there's just many of them. Mary had it bad. What do you think Jesus meant to her? When she's not just demon-possessed, but she's demon-possessed to have seven demons within her, and Jesus casts out those demons, in one action, her life completely changed. And it changed her focus on Jesus. Because Luke chapter 8 and verse 2, that halfway down, is not just there to tell us, hey, there was this woman whom Jesus had healed. That's not the point of the verse. You start off in verse 1, it says, soon afterwards he began going around from one village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sickness. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's servant, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. And so we find Mary having her life changed and then her life focused. It's all about Jesus. In his ministry, from place to place, she is, through her own efforts and through her own financial ability, she's contributing and helping him and his disciples. And I don't know what it is about the way she was doing that or the amount she was doing it. I don't know, but she always gets mentioned first, with one exception, and we'll see it, and there's a reason for it. But just like we talked about with the apostles on Wednesday night, Peter's always mentioned first. There's a reason for that. Mary is always mentioned first. Her life was truly dedicated to Jesus. In fact, in Mark 16 and verse 9, when it talks about Jesus being resurrected, first person Jesus appears to? Mary Magdalene. She's very important. And I think it's safe to say, and we're going to see it, Jesus was very important to her. And so if you have somebody whose life has been changed, and then their life is focused on Jesus, what is it like to watch him die? What is it like to be at the cross? Because when we come to the cross, she's there. In John chapter 19, this is the one time she's not mentioned first. John 19, verse 25, it says, therefore, the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus' mother is, of course, the focus in verse 26. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. While that's going on, Mary's right there. She can see the blood. She can hear the agony. This is the man who changed her life. What do you suppose would be going through her mind? I know I would be thinking that he, of all people, he does not deserve this. And when Jesus dies, which must have been a complete shock to all of the disciples who were thinking he's going to be the king, he's going to rule over all of us, and he's going to conquer Rome, and then he dies. That must have been an incredible shock. She goes immediately back to what she's always been doing. Immediately back to service. Because what is stated about her in Luke chapter 23, though it doesn't mention her specifically in this verse, we know from parallel accounts it includes her. But Luke chapter 23, verse 55 and 56. Now the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid, and they returned and prepared spices and perfumes, and on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. So that night, moments after Jesus has died and they have seen where he's been buried, they then go to honor him, to prepare proper treatment for the dead. And so they're gathering together the spices, but then it is too late, and so they cannot go to the tomb right then because the Sabbath has come. So they wait. But first thing on the first day of the week, there's Mary Magdalene going to the tomb. They don't have a plan. They know the rock that is covering the tomb is too heavy, but still she goes, wondering, who can move the rock for us? And it's in John chapter 20 that I think we see the pain. We can imagine the pain when she's sitting there watching Jesus die, but it's how she's reacting and what she's thinking afterwards, just before Jesus is resurrected or she finds out about the resurrection, that are some of the, in my opinion, some of the most pitiful statements in the scriptures. So in John chapter 20, verse 1 and 2, it says, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. She doesn't say, I think he's alive. She's still at that point where she thinks he's dead. And she can't serve him anymore. I can't honor him. We can't put the seasonings, the spices. Well, it keeps going. Pick up in verse 11. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping because Peter and John have run there. They've seen that the tomb is empty. They leave. Mary's still there. She's standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Is that not just painful? How much Jesus meant to her. But I'll tell you how quickly that changes. She goes from such a low point, but then the very next verse, verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. Now, it doesn't tell us exactly how she said it, but I feel quite confident that she did not come to the disciples and say, I saw the most beautiful flower on my way over here. Oh, and I saw Jesus. No way. Just as one action had changed Mary's life forever, now just one word, Mary, one recognition has changed her life forever, even more so. Her weeping and her grief are turned to joy. As we partake, we should remember how Jesus changed our lives. Where would you be without him? And when you think about Jesus in that way, the pain and the suffering he goes through is very real. And when we think about who Jesus was and what he accomplished on that cross, and the fact that death did not conquer him, our grief is quickly turned to joy, just like Mary's. It doesn't say specifically what Mary did the moment she realized Jesus was alive. But I think Jesus told us, because Jesus says, stop clinging to me. And you could imagine what Mary had done. She'd been standing, looking into the grave. She's weeping. She's crying. She says, I don't know where the body is. And then Jesus is alive. And she clings to him. And what would you do if Jesus was here right now? Would we greet him? Or would we immediately cling to him? As we partake, we cling. We cling to his memory. We cling to his importance, and we cling to our appreciation. Let us partake of the Lord's Supper.